share thought. I would call it 90% Parshas Pekudei, 10% Purim. And so one or two elements is ties back to the shmuz we said about Parshas Yisro. So maybe we're pulling it all together. So there's a medrash in this week, parsha that says Hana Yudches Brachos, that we say in Shmoneh Esrei, we say Yudches Brachos. The connected me. What do they correspond to? So they correspond to in Parshas Pekudei. It says Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe. It says that 18 times. So the Yudches Brachos of Shmoneh Esrei correspond to the Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe 18 times. So obviously the challenge is to understand the Medrash. Is what exactly is the connection between Tefillah to specifically Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe? Maybe you could focus on Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe. Why is the pasuk stressing Bechlal Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe? Kasher Tzivah Hashem. They made the Mishkan the way Rabbi Hashem said. They make the Mishkan. It wasn't totally Dafka. It was sent to Moshe, but that's not the Nakuda intrinsic to the Nakuda. The point was they made the Mishkan Kasher Tzivah Hashem, like Hashem commanded them to make the Mishkan. Bechlal, we have to understand the psukim in the parshas Pekudei. We have to understand why is it important to tell us again and again and again that everything was done Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe. Why it was done properly? I mean, yes, the point was that they made the Mishkan, they made the menorah properly. So the pasuk wants to tell me that's the pasuk taich in the pasuk. They made the menorah exactly as directed. Kasher Tzivah Hashem, the point was that Hashem commanded Moshe, that's not the Nakuda. The Nakuda Hadavar is that they made the Mishkan, they made each element of the Mishkan the way it was supposed to be made. Right? And if that's what it means, so why is it necessary to say it? So obviously there's something more in the Kasher Tzivah Hashem. Kasher Tzivah Hashem. Okay. We mentioned before there's Machlokas Rishonim. What is the role of Mishkan? What exactly is the role of Mishkan? Actually, it's Parshas Truma, not Parshas Yisroel. The role of Mishkan. Rashi and the Sephorna learned that the Mishkan was given only after the Chet HaEgel, and before the Chet HaEgel, there was no concept of a specific makom where you would do avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was possible to do avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. There's actually a mashmos from Arizal that there was actually no union of karbonis after Chet HaEgel. There was no union of, before Chet HaEgel, after Mount Torah, before Chet HaEgel, there would not be a concept of karbonis b'chlal. The karbonis is made with tikkun the Olam HaSiya. Olam HaSiya already got its tikkun through Nasa V'Nishma. There was no need for karbonis. The concept of karbonis will not exist, which sounds somewhat foreign to our ears. Right, it's a mashal to think about. There's a medrash. The medrash says that lasi lovei, all karbonos will be in his battle except for karbon toda. There's even a Rambam. The Rambam says in one place. The Rambam says that lasi lovei tefillah will be bottled. We don't concept of tefillah anymore. The idea of tefillah will not exist. We won't daven anymore. It's like sounds. Right. The world as we see the concept of avodah through karbonis, time of mikdash, and nowadays through tefillah, is not intrinsic into the bria. Right. It plays a role in the world that we now find ourselves. Mishkan for sure, according to Rashi and the Sephorna, Mishkan does not exist. After Matan Torah, before Chet HaEgel, there's no concept of Mishkan. The Sephorna says that in the Parshas Yisro, every place in the world, any place in the world where a person needed to be over the Kadosh Baruch, he'd be over the Kadosh Baruch. Mishkan was given in the wake of Chet HaEgel. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that Mishkan was the Tzivei Mishkan, that the Parshas are in order. Rashi says Ein Mukdama Mokher, they're not in order. The Ramban says they are in order, and therefore the Tzivei of the Mishkan was given before Chet HaEgel. But Rashi and the Sephorna learn not like that. To understand Chet HaEgel a little bit, there's a machshava from Rabbi Rucham. Rabbi Rucham brings a medrash. The medrash brings a machloikis between four tanoim. Exactly, when did Klai Yisrael drop from their madrega and go into Cheta Egel. So the simple understanding, the first Tana says that for 39 days, Klaiso was totally be'emuna with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They were totally in trust, the proper attitude to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The 40th day, the Yetzirah came and they chopped them and they convinced them and they did the Cheta Egel. The second Tana says that no, it was 29 days that they were be'emuna with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and 11 days already, Cheta Egel was already developing in their thought process. Okay, the Thermodoma says that one day they were b'muna, and 39 days they were contemplating Chet Egel. And Remeir says that Tachas Achupa they were contemplating Chet Egel. As Klaus was standing by Har Sinai and saying Nasa Benishim, Makabal the Torah, they're contemplating Chet Egel. So Birchum says, what does that mean? I mean, Klaisos on the Madrego, the Merkabal the Torah, Nasa Benishma, Klaisos gets crowns, the Malachim, the Mishdamas was such a thought process, the Bershami Gola Roses and the Bonai, the Yetzirah was eradicated from them, the Mobus was eradicated from them, and they're contemplating Chet Ego under the Chuppah. What are the words to mean? What's her mayor saying? So he says like this. You have to think about the following challenge. I mentioned this idea a few times, you know, that we are presented with a significant challenge in our avodas Hashem. That what keli do we have to our commitment to avodas Hashem? Our minds. Our minds tell us that the proper thing to do is avodas Hashem. The moshul which I give, it makes it a little bit more clear. A person who was not brought up frum, and he decides to become a frum at some point in his life, what caleb does he use to make that decision? He uses his mind. He contemplates, he thinks, he reads, talks, he discusses, and he comes to the recognition that the Torah is right. Okay, now he starts doing Torah mitzvahs. So he's being over to Kodesh Baruch Hu with his Torah and his mitzvahs. So in a certain sense, that's not 100% correct how to say that. Because it was his decision that Torah is right. He contemplated and he decided Torah is right. So at the end of the day, what he's worshiping is his intellect who said that this is the right thing to do. Because had his intellect decided it wasn't the right thing to do, he wouldn't do it. So why is he doing it? Because he decided that it's right. So there's a very... the person is injected into the equation. I, with my great powers of seichel, have decided this is the right thing to do. And I, theoretically, have the right to say it's not the right thing to do. So I decided we should do X. So what am I doing? I'm saying I'm putting my seichel on a pedestal. And I'm doing whatever I'm doing because my seichel says to do it. So my seichel is really what I'm serving. Not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Klaisel comes to Har Sinai, and Klaisel says Nasa Benishma. Who said Nasa Benishma? Klaisel said Nasa Benishma. What do they use to decide that? Their minds. So as Klaisel stands by the chuppah and commits to serve, it's because they decide it's a good idea to serve. So Dr. Meir, there's an element of Avodah Zorah in that right there. Because what is Chet Egel? Chet Egel is, you know, there's mitzvahs and there's Torah. But under the circumstances, it's understandable that we have to do something else. You know, so we have to come up with a solution. Good, right? So here we are. We have to come up with a solution. And the solution is we're going to make this surah from the Kitzei HaKavod. It's not really about a Zorah. You know, the bottom of fortune wasn't really about a Zorah. We have all cheshbonos, right? But at the end of the day, what are we saying? We have a right to decide. Who gave us the right to decide? We did. Because we're the ones that said Nasa Benishma. So we, with our great minds, figured out Nasa Benishma. We, with our great minds, decide right now, you know what, it's not so Nasa, not so Nishma, let's do something else instead. Dr. Meir, Chet Egel, was intrinsic in Nasa Benishma. But, my friends, that's not about Hashem. Avodah Hashem is when I come to something, Avraham Avinu comes to the Keder. I tell you that the Kirei came out. Akedah made zero sense. It's impossible that Kodesh Baruch Hu said that. It made no seichel. Avraham Avinu has clarified with understanding of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Brasha made the Bria based on chesed. He dedicated his whole life. He predicated all of his service on the fact that the Brasha does not want human sacrifice. He just wants you to recognize him and feel his chesed and feel his warmth and love him back. That's what it's all about. The Brasha says, okay, fine. Okay, now I want to take your son, I want you to shecht him. Avraham Avinu suspends his mind and says, doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not the Balabas. The Balabas is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He truly gave over the most valuable thing we have in our being is our mind. We trust our mind tremendously. With our greater intellect, we understand what's right and what's wrong, and that's the Bershom gave us, that Kaili. That's the best Kaili we have to decide what's right and what's wrong. And every fiber of a Romino's being says, it doesn't make any sense. He says, I don't care. But the Kodesh said, I'm doing it. That's when you are truly an Oved Hashem. A Romino became an Eved Hashem, Yireh is from the position of, he's bigger than me, he's smarter than me, he's more powerful than me, he's the boss, I'm not. I'm an Eved, I'm a servant. I have no right to make decisions. I have no right to decide. I have no right to put any input at all. An Eved has no right to put any input at all. Even a child can talk to the parents. An Eved comes to the master and says, excuse me, who are you? I own you. You're my Eved. That's what Yir is. When we can suspend our minds totally, so the Baruch Hashem takes Klal Yisrael. And you know, the Yetzer Hara came, and we always said the Yetzer Hara came. Who sent the Yetzer Hara, please? Right? Like, Noah has a story about this fellow who was trying to convince him why to become frum. Talked to him about it. He said, you know, I don't really need to be frum because God and me were very tight, you know. We're like this. He says, what do you mean? He says, I have this, you know, motorcycle accident. I went over the cliff, and that was it. I was plummeting to my death. And, you know, out of nowhere, just God came in with his arms and grabbed me. He created this bush over there, and the bike flew away, and I landed in this bush, and I, without a scratch, God and me are tight like this. And the nurse says, okay, hey, 100%, you're right, 100%, 100%, 100%. Yeah, right. God and you are really tight. I get that. One question. Who pushed you off of the mountain, please? And exactly who sent this Yetzer Hara? It wasn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, yeah, you know, Bereshit, you know, and then this Yetzer Hara came along and convinced us to do the Kategel. Like, you know, and he made it the Musa of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you see Moshe's dead, and he really made it really scary. And you know, and he brings, you know, that he made a picture that in Shemayim that it was like, you know, there was this Commander Sabuvia, and everything is really crazy, and you know, it's like it's dark, and what, and then, whoa, yeah. Who gave him the power to do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he was challenging Klal Yisrael to see if they can move past their own minds. Who builds the Mishkan? A fellow named Bezalel. Now, why is his name Bezalel? So Rashi says. So Moshe comes to Bezalel and says, listen, here's the deal. We're going to build the Kelim, and then we're going to build the Mishkan. Moshe says, excuse me, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, you have to build the Mishkan first, so you have where to put the Kelim. Moshe says, oh, you're right. God said that. He says, Atah Betzel Kelim. He said, were you there with me when you heard the news? When you heard the information? I mean, how do you know? Bezalel's a very smart guy. Because I'll say that Bezalel was Yudea, the Tzirufa Oisius, to create the world. To create the Mishkan Betzim is, in certain sense, is creating a perfect world. It's a microcosm of the Bria. And some of them, unfortunately, you know, the Bali Kabbalah talk about the Mishkan. They show how each part of the different the Bria was represented in the Mishkan. And to build a Mishkan, you had to be a person who knew how to create a Bria. So Bezalel was a human being whose level of knowledge, understanding of the Bria was so perfect that he could actually create a Bria. He could put together the oisius of the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and create man, create the ground, water. He could do everything that he wanted. That's how smart Bezalel was. Bezalel did not need Moshe to tell him how to build the Mishkan. So we have the greatest intellect coming to build the most important building that there's ever going to be. And he knows exactly how to do it without being told. And he does it because that's what he was told to do by God. Not because he figured it out himself, not because he's so smart, not because he trusts his own mind, because Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Kashar Tziva Hashem es Moshe. The Tikkun for Chet HaEgel, Zot Alter from Kalim, was a human being who did not need to hear it from a Kaddish Bor, from Moshe, did not need to hear it from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He subjugated his mind and put his mind on hold and said, Kashar Tziva Hashem es Moshe. That's how you create a Mishkan. That's how you bring Shekhinah down to this world. Now, the Mishkan, we mentioned before, the Mishkan is, you know, is a fascinating thing. You know, maybe we have a mushal nowadays, we understand a little bit, because we build these gigantic buildings, or we send rockets to the moon, you know. Most of our world, most of the things that we do, if you're an inch off, it's not such a big problem. It's really not such a big problem if you're an inch off. When you build a skyscraper, which is 110 stories high, and it's well over 1,000 feet tall, that inch off in the bottom magnifies itself towards the top much more. If you're an inch off in your trajectory of your rocket going to the moon, you go to Mars instead. Because, well, it's just an inch off. Yeah, but an inch off over here makes a tremendous nafkamina over there. But in most of the things that we live in, like an inch off, it makes a difference. In the Mishkan, there was no room for error. There's no room for error. If you're an inch off, it's like, why does God care? Like, you know, is it really a difference? You know, they had to figure out Mestama which sheets are the file of for the Amah, because I don't know how else you build the Mishkan, you know. Is an Amah 23.75 inches? Is an Amah 18.2 inches? Is an Amah 22 and a half inches? I mean, how? They didn't have five versions of the Aron. Okay. But whatever they knew, Moshe Rabbeinu knew what an Amah is, you couldn't make it, a Masai Mechetzi, you couldn't make it minus an Etzpa. Like, well, why does God care? You know, does God really care if you don't eat kosher? Why does God care, like, what type of food do you eat, you know? You know, you're those black boxes, you know. He wrote one thing wrong out of order, because, you know. So does God really care? Apparently he does. It has to be exactly perfect. Why? I don't know. But do I have to know? It has to make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to me, it's not right. So I'm so smart, you know. I understand, you know. I understand everything. You know, when the physicist tells me, so listen, I'm sorry, it doesn't make any sense. It can't be true. You know, I understand that. That's ridiculous. I'm not as smart as that physicist. The doctor tells me that this is how the brain works. I don't. I'm supposed to argue with him. I don't know how the brain works. God tells me this is how you bring God. I trust him. I should say otherwise. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's not logical that God really would care whether, you know, whatever. You know, what does logic do with anything? See, something like this. I'm as smart as God. Like, I created, like, a few worlds yesterday. So I know how to make them, you know. God should listen to me. I'm as smart as him. And I say, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's really what you're saying. I'm really like God. So what you're really saying is, I'm God. That's about a Zohar, my friends. The Mishkan is, you know what? It doesn't make any sense to you at all. And that's exactly what I'm telling you to do. Listen to me. Because I'm God, and you're not. And I'm the creator. And I tell you, you have to do like this. Because, trust me. Okay, what is tefillah? So, you know, tefillah is an interesting thing. There's a lot of, I said, all the carbon will be bottled except for carbon tide. Why carbon tide is going to stick around? So the tefillah, we have the same challenge. We come and we talk to our Creator and we acknowledge his being as the Creator. We acknowledge, you hear that word, we acknowledge his fact that he's the Creator. How do we do that with our minds? So I, with my infinite wisdom, decided God is the creator. I learn Rav Yehuda Miller's Svarim, and I get very enthused in Emunah, and I see Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand. But did you hear where there's an interesting word in all of those sentences? It's the word I. I see, I understand, I learn, I think, I know, I... There's always this big letter I. It's only a letter which, you know, word which always comes capitalized. It's not about me. And if it's all because of me, I'm back to Avodah Zarah. So I decided that I should pray to Creator. So listen, Creator, listen to the Creator. I think you're right, because I am so big to figure, I can figure out whether I should speak to you. So I like davening. I enjoy it very much because I like talking to my Creator every day. But it's that word I. So there's one part of tefillah where we solve that problem. And that's called moedim. The Mora says that, the Mora says at the end of the first parak in Baba Kama, the Mora says that a person who doesn't bow down by moedim, when he's nifter, his spine becomes a nochash. Okay? So Morale says, what does that mean? Obviously it doesn't mean kipshutoi. He says, what is the spine? The spine is what makes a human being erect. That's what makes us different than the animals. That's what we hold ourselves erect. We see the world from a different vantage point than the animals do. There's only one creation other than man who walked erect, which was the Nachash. And the Nachash had tremendous understanding. What did the Nachash do with it? To decide how he wants to run the world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you do with your ability to be erect? You submit to your Creator. You bow down in front of Him. And you're moideh, and you admit. What do you admit? We admit that we are, amudim anachtulach, I admit that we are to you. That's it. I don't think anything more. Amudim anachtulach. I'll prove it to you. The phrase doesn't make any sense, right? What's the correct phrase? Amudim anachtulach shatosh amalokeinu. Okay? So, now, the halacha is, if you're in the middle of Birkas Kriya Shema, you're not supposed to be ma'asik. What do you say? Translate that phrase, please. We admit to you. In English, that's a transitive verb. Right? It has to have a... We admit to you that. We admit to you this. We admit to you. What do we mean we admit to you? That phrase has to be able to stand on its own. Because we say it. That's how you, the halacha says you say it. When you can't be ma'afsik. Mirchus Kriya Shema, you can't say the whole thing. You say those three words and that's enough. So the process of a medima natalog is we admit that we, every part of our being, my mind as well, is yours. That's what it means to bow by moedim. If you can't do that, my friend, you're the same as the nachash. That you see the world, the vantage world from the Rosh Hashanah made you erect. He gave you ability to see in a higher plane than everything else. And what do you do with that? You see the world in your own terms. So Morale says that when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, so what do? We put our feet together. Why do you put your feet together for Shemoneh Esrei? Oh, to be like a Malach, he says, you put our feet together because to show you can't go anywhere without God. Then you put your hands together. So show you can't do anything without God. You can't move your hands. You can't. Hands are what represent the ability to do, to build, to accomplish. All we do, everything. 90% of our creativity is done with our hands. We write. We make computer programs nowadays, you know. Right? We do it with our hands. I can think about it. I have great intellect, but no hands. Okay, so how do you do something? Well, nowadays they have these programs which allow you to use, you know, just looking at it, etc. Great. And who made those programs? People with their hands. So we put our hands together. Halacha, you're supposed to hold your hands together like this during Shemoneh Esrei. This is Machlokes and Machlokes. One sheet holds you do like this. One sheet holds you do it like this. That's how you daven Shemoneh Esrei. You hold your body like this. I'm not going. I can't do anything. I have no ability to move. And then you take your head, which is your mind. You bow it to your Creator. That's tefillah, Zok Demara. Tefillah is the ability to understand. Tefillah is the ability to understand that we belong to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lasiloba. All the karbonos will be bottled. What's the karbonos? Well. There's a korban shlomim. I give a present to God. Korban oila, I give a present to God. Korban chatos, I did an aveira, I asked God for kapora. Osham, I asked God for kapora. They're all about which word? I. Toidah is the act of submission. I admit that I'm yours. It's I take the I and I give it back to him. That's what korbanos are. That's what tefillah is. But that's what the korban taira is. That's what tefillah is. The integral part of tefillah is the ability for the human being to come to his creator and bow. The Maharal gets involved in why 18 times. But we're running a little bit short on time. I have to tell you, if you look at Purim, just look at Purim for a second. We spoke about this the day before. We should be zoicha to have the power of understanding of Klal Yisrael in the generation of Achashverosh. Right? Excuse me for being cynical. I think it would be difficult for us to do it. Okay, so let's think about it for a second. So, according to one shot of Chazal, why was there Xerah from Haman? Because Klal Yisrael was in the hand from the Suda of Achashverosh. That's the Medrash says. The more it challenges that, fine. The more the Medrash says. And the Chazal say that Mordechai told them not to go. And they said, we have to go. Why did they say we have to go? You know, we live in the city. Everybody else is being invited. We don't go. It's a terrible political move not to go. Like, it's an insult to the king. We have no choice. We have to go. It's insulting. And this wasn't just a king. This is a king who had the power of life and death. Right? And he ruled over the whole known world. So, you know, if you got him upset, like, no more Jews. So they said, listen, we have no choice. We must go. Mordechai said, don't go. And they went, and nothing happened. 9 years later, Haman is appointed to the position of Mishnah Lamelech. And Mordechai refuses to bow. And they go to Mordechai again. The Targum says, so they went to Mordechai and says, you must bow because you're endangering all the Jews and all of the land. He says, no, you don't bow. And what happens? There's a decree against all the Jews. So they go to Mordechai. Mordechai says this because you ate from the. You know why? Because you were in a hanif 9 years ago from the Suda of Achashverosh. That's why it happened. Not because of me. Now, honestly, people in this room, who would you believe? Let's get the deal. Remember, 9 years ago, when he sent out to go, nothing happened. 9 years later, we tell him, don't do it, you're endangering all the Jews. He doesn't listen to us, and there's a decree against the Jews. And he says, it's your fault from 9 years ago. Would you believe him? Would you believe him? Maybe. Okay. Would you believe him? No. Kaiser believes him. That's what it means to macabre Torah a second time. Because the Kabbalah of the Torah, it was harder than the first time. Because the first time, God came to you and said it to you. Who gave it to you the second time? The rabbi. The rabbi said it. Who doesn't understand politics, obviously. And you trusted him. You're mavatla your own mind. Not to God, but to the rabbi. That's much bigger than the first Kabbalah Satara, my friends. And Kaiser listens to Mordechai and does tshuva. And 3 days later, Haman is hanging. And Mordechai is walking through the streets. And they say, you know what? We see Mordechai was right. But we didn't need to see it to know Mordechai was right. We listened to him. He made a gzeira. And listen, he made this gzeira. Like, get this picture. And he makes this gzeira. Rabbi say, don't eat Pesach matzah this year. I want you to fast for 3 days, including Yom Tov. You're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov. Yeah, but I say you should fast on Yom Tov. I mean, this rabbi is like lost it. First of all, he tells him this mitzvah 9 years ago, and he was wrong. Then we tell him not to do this mitzvah, and you see what happens. And not only that, he may go tell him not to do mitzvahs. And we listen to him. Because we understand that we don't know. We understand that the Bereshit gave a Torah, which allows human being to get such a level of understanding that he does see. even when I don't understand and it doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm not so stupid. I have an IQ, you know, of 180, you know, like, you know, I passed, you know, the SAT with the perfect score. But there's a person who because he's connected to Kadosh Baruch, whose Torah knows more than me. Wow! That's the second Kabbalah Satara. That Kabbalah Satara is greater than the first one. But Salo, it submits to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kashasiva Shem is Moshe. Yeah, like, listen, Moshe was on the Har Sinai. I mean, it was pretty impressive, Har Sinai. Like, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, it was clear to the Jews, it was pretty impressive. Lightning, thunder, you know. They were able to hear, see thunder and hear lightning, you know, and, like, you know, like, really, it was impressive. They heard the voice of a Kadosh Baruch, they had the Nevuah. So they trusted Moshe. No, they didn't have any Nevuah. They had a member of the Sanhedrin who said like this, Mehechatesi, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Because I know I don't understand that there's a being greater than me that understands, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to talk through the Chachamim sometimes, not only through the Nevi'im, but even through the Chachamim sometimes. And I'm a Makabal, the Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because I know that I don't understand. I submit my mind. Okay, so Mishkan is the ability to submit our minds to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is the ability to submit our minds to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Purim was really, that's the same thing. Final thought. Kotzker says a fascinating thing. Kotzker says, Batsim, if I call correctly, I found it in the Sefer Chassidim. He says that they called Pushat Yad Noisim Loi. You know, the din my on Purim, the halacha is the whole year that the person comes and asks you for tzedakah. In certain cases, you are allowed to, you're mechuyev to, you be mevar if he really needs it. This is din of boitkin. On Purim, the halacha is called pashat yad nosin lo. You don't ask any questions. The person asks for tzedakah, you give it to him. So the Kotzker says, it's not his own word. It's found in the earlier. It's found maybe in a Zohar possibly. The Kotzker says. The applies to Klai was tefillahs on Purim also. The whole year, a person is in Russia, I would like to ask the person, you know, maybe not. We have to see if you deserve it. On Purim, if you ask, you get. Called Pashayad Nosimloi. Because quintessential tefillah is an act of submitting our whole being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Purim was. We gave our whole being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because by a Jew, the greatest part of his being is his mind. We gave our being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's perfect tefillah. Version says, fine. You know what? There's no questions anymore. We have a perfect relationship. We're talking like this. Like this, you get whatever you want. That's the power of Purim. A human being to be able to submit, call coolly his whole being to his creator. It's a perfect day of tefillah. It's a perfect day of being in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is just you're enveloped in Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. The Simcha of Purim is Pashat, you're being enveloped in Baruch Hu's arms. You feel so, there's no separation anymore. Because what was the greatest separation between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu? Not our goof. But our minds. And Klaiso was Masakan, that sense was Masakan Chet HaEgel. This is the second Kabbalah after the Chet HaEgel. We gave back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just Bitzal, not just one individual, Klai Yisrael gave back to Kadosh Baruch Hu our minds. You understand better, we're willing to submit and follow what you say, even though it doesn't make any sense to us. Not only through the Nevi'im, but even through the Chachamim. So the Torah that we know speaks to us, and this is what it says. And therefore I come to Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of, and I submit my being to you. Here I am, Kadosh Baruch Hu, take me. Moshe says, if I take you, I take care of you. You're mine, totally. That's the process, that's why Purim is a day of Kabbalah Simcha. Because what can be more happier than a human being standing in that situation, being enveloped in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms? And today, tremendous kayach of tefillah, which is part of that state of being with the Kodesh Baruch. We should be zoicha, that Purim, this Purim should be a Purim which we talk, it should see Yeshua's and Yiflos. The whole world needs it, Klal Yisrael needs it, the whole world needs it, every person, individually Yeshua's, we talk, it should see that the Baruch Hu Megal himself, that the whole world will see with a clarity, without any questions, understand with a clarity that Kodesh Baruch Hu Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo Yoshienu.